the Public News Service Daily Newscast, August the 14th, 2025. I'm Mike Clifford. President Donald Trump told European leaders during a call Wednesday he does not intend to discuss any possible divisions of territory when he meets with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Alaska this week. That's according to two European officials and three other people briefed on the call. That from NBC News. They report that Trump said on the call, which also included Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, that he is going into the meeting with Putin with the goal of securing a ceasefire in Ukraine. Trump and European leaders agreed that a ceasefire in Ukraine has to be implemented before peace negotiations can begin. NBC notes some of the European leaders were left with the impression from the call that Trump is not optimistic about the results of this meeting with Putin. Meantime, Head Start providers in Maine now face financial and logistical challenges after the Trump administration proposed restrictions on undocumented children.
Experts say many centers are already facing federal funding delays, which have impacted their preschool programs, and that meeting new administrative immigration requirements could put them out of business. Rita Furlow with Maine Children's Alliance says immigrant parents already on edge could choose to keep their kids home.
Families may now consider not participating. Even if they do qualify, it just may make families nervous or uncomfortable.
She says that means children could miss critical early education and health interventions that are shown to improve their long-term outcomes. The Trump administration says the change is needed to deter illegal immigration and ensure only citizens benefit from taxpayer-funded programs. I'm Catherine Carley.
Roughly 3,000 Maine kids are enrolled in Head Start. And advocates for Social Security are rallying in Phoenix this week at an event they're calling the Silver Sit-In. The program is receiving increased attention as D.C. lawmakers cut social services across the nation.
The Trump administration has made cuts to Medicaid and other services low-income people rely on through its budget reconciliation bill. One out of 10 people use Medicaid as their only source of insurance. The Arizona Alliance of Retired Americans, Lynn Ogburn, adds there were staff cuts to the Social Security program back in February. She's concerned reduced staff will eventually lead to reduced benefits.
People here rely on it for their mortgage. They rely on it to pay bills. It's very, very difficult here because there are so many people that don't have a retirement income.
Ogburn adds that potential cuts to Social Security funding, which turns 90 years old this month, are especially frightening to people who have disabilities. The Trump administration has said it is right-sizing the federal budget and working to eliminate waste and fraud from social service programs. I'm Mark Moran.
This is Public News Service. Next to California, where a bill before state lawmakers would help foster children and their families recover from natural disasters like fires and floods.
At the end of August, the State Senate Appropriations Committee will decide whether to pass Assembly Bill 689, which would create a $2 million statewide Child Welfare Disaster Response Fund. Susanna Niffen with the nonprofit Children Now says the fund would cover urgent needs like transportation, interim housing, and replacement of essential belongings.
If the state is financially responsible for children and families in foster care, then they need to step up in moments of great harm and do something for these kids and families.
California is home to just under 40,000 foster kids, and there is no dedicated financial disaster assistance for them or their foster families. I'm Suzanne Potter.
And a group of New Mexico lawmakers and voting rights advocates renewed redistricting meetings this month with the goal of preventing the sort of gerrymandering being promoted in neighboring Texas.
The 2025 New Mexico Redistricting Task Force wants to be ready with recommendations when the legislature redraws the state's political maps at the end of the decade. Project manager Dick Mason says they're leaning toward advocating for an independent commission.
We've removed the congressional redistricting from our proposed constitutional amendment. We knew that was a no-starter. So we are just looking for the state Senate and House and our public education commission.
New Mexico voters currently favor Democrats who control the governorship, state Senate, and House of Representatives. I'm Roz Brown.
Finally, the clock is ticking for the Colorado River Basin states to decide how to split up shrinking water supplies. Some conservationists are reconsidering a centuries-old water distribution tradition at work across the arid American West.
As historian Nick Sines with the Hispanic Conservation Leadership Council explains, each spring, farming communities in Colorado's San Luis Valley are in a race against time to water crops before snowmelt disappears. In the tradition known as a sequía, decisions are made democratically, and irrigation priorities benefit entire communities over any individual user. Sines says a sequía offers a blueprint for how to share a scarce resource.
That's going to require us all working together. That's going to require some concessions and some compromise and trying to envision how, as a group, we can make decisions about our collective future.
Decades of drought exacerbated by a warming climate has greatly reduced water supplies for the 40 million people who rely on the Colorado River. And under existing rules, agriculture and other users are already allocated more water than the river can deliver. If Colorado and other basin states can't come up with a new plan by October 1st of next year, the federal government would step in. I'm Eric Galatis.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.